Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films Close to Vermeer, White Balls on Walls, and Dollyland.
I'd like to talk about three films this week which all deal with the world of art, mainly painting. Two of them are documentaries, and one of them is a fiction film, although it deals with very real characters. And they make a kind of an interesting triad of movies that are all out and about right now in theaters, or they're all available on streaming, so people can find them if they want to see them. The first one I'd like to talk about is called Close to Vermeer. It is directed by Suzanne Rees. It's a Dutch film, and yes, of course, Vermeer, one of the greatest, arguably the greatest of all Dutch painters. And this movie deals very much with Vermeer and his work, and it shows us a whole lot of it. But mainly, the movie is about a show that a very major Dutch museum wants to put on, and it wants to bring together, this is their aspiration, all of Vermeer's work. Now, there's not all that much Vermeer work. There are fewer than three dozen paintings which are really known for sure to be Vermeer's, about 34 of them, and they are in different museums hither and yon. So it's a challenge to get together these paintings, and as we see the exhibition being organized, because that's really what the film deals with to a large extent, we see the challenges that are involved. There's one painting which is in a major museum, but it was given to the museum on the condition that it never be allowed to travel. It always has to be on view at that museum. So, okay, you can't send that one out to this new exhibition. There's another painting which is very fragile, and it simply can't be moved. So there's another one. But it turns out they're going to be able to get most of the Vermeers and put on this exhibition. Now, that's one of the things that this movie is very much about the organizing of this great Vermeer show. You can call it a very large show because it's going to have most of the Vermeers in it, or you can call it a very small show because there aren't that many Vermeers to begin with. But however you describe it, the main interest of the movie, for me at least, was hearing different people who are very close to this stuff. The movie's called Close to Vermeer. People who really have devoted their lives to art history, to art restoration, to art exhibition, and particularly to Vermeer and the various kinds of art that he represents, have them talking about the work. Very early in the movie, one of the curators, the main curator of the Vermeer exhibition, is talking about the very first time he ever saw a Vermeer, and it was in person. It's when he was he was still a kid in school, and he actually fainted. So, you know, this is a person who relates to art a whole lot more strongly than I do. I admit, never in the presence of any work of art of any kind have I ever actually fainted, but he did. And there are other people who have that kind of response, maybe not quite that strong, to Vermeer and to art in general, good art at least. And so we get to hear them talk about the work. But, you know, the most fascinating thing about the movie of all, it's terrific to see the exhibition get organized and see the challenges they run into and how they overcome most of them. And it's interesting to hear these people talk about the paintings and their own relationship to the paintings in all kinds of different ways. But the most fascinating thing is we just get to see the work really close up. Again, the movie is called Close to Vermeer. And now there's a fair number of movies that deal with art, a fair number of documentaries that deal with artworks. Very often they engage in all kinds of sort of tricks. You'll have the camera moving rapidly over the surface of a canvas so that it almost turns the canvas into a movie, that sort of thing. Well, certainly the cameras move across the canvases in this movie too, but they tend to do it slowly and they tend to do it with real reverence and respect, not just trying to juice things up. Sometimes two canvases will be exhibited on the screen side by side to help you make comparisons. And the curators are always talking about the works, explaining things about the work. art. There are just fascinating things about certain shades of green or certain shades of shadow that come in and how Vermeer handled these things in ways very different from the way any other painter would have done it. And there are nuances. There are things that I, and just looking at a painting, might never notice. And it's really interesting to have these things brought out and have them called to your attention so that you can savor them and think about them and in a lot of cases be puzzled by them as well, because these curators are puzzled by a lot of these details in the paintings. And there's also disputes over whether a particular Vermeer is in fact authentic or not. There are some where there don't seem to be any questions at all. But there's one Vermeer that a lot of, or maybe probably Vermeer, that a lot of attention gets paid to, where the folds of a woman's dress are seen to be not really Vermeer-esque in a full way. So does that mean simply that Vermeer never finished the painting? Or does it mean that maybe the whole painting is by some other person? There's one Vermeer with a bird cage up in a corner. That appears to have been a later addition to the painting, we now can tell with today's high technology, probably painted by somebody else. So all of these things are there, and they're all just discussed in such interesting and intimate ways. I just found it just a joy to watch. It's a movie that's really interesting, and it's just beautiful to look at. It's well under an hour and a half long, and I really recommend it. Close to Vermeer. Just a lovely and interesting and instructive, in a lot of ways, movies. Now, the second documentary about the world of art I would like to talk about right now is really quite different in various ways, and it deals with art from a somewhat different perspective. It's another Dutch movie, and it's called White Balls on Walls, and it was directed and written by Sarah Vos. And here we have a movie about a museum which is taking on a challenge that, again, a Dutch museum, the Stedelijk Museum in Amsterdam, a challenge which a lot of different kinds of arts institutions and educational institutions and all kinds of institutions are taking on these days, which is how to be more inclusive. How to have more inclusion and inclusivity and that sort of thing. So we are now dealing with this. I am very used to hearing about this, seems constantly these days, in an American context. Here we're talking about it in a Dutch context. How do these things play out in the Netherlands? So we have this very great museum in Amsterdam, and yes, partly because it's in Amsterdam and partly because it's the way of the Western world, at least, it is really dominated by whiteness and maleness. There are white males everywhere. There are white males in the institution's history, and there are white males sort of leading the institution now. There are a certain amount of people of other races and ethnicities, and they play very important parts in this movie, but there is a whole lot of whiteness and maleness, and they are now trying to come to grips with that, coming to deal with that. The slogan of the museum, which is sort of taped in huge letters on the museum's facade, is "Meet the Icons of Modern Art." So, of course, what all of these things raise is, what is iconic? What is an icon? What is part of the canon? What is not part of the canon? Especially in these days and in this day and age, when we're all trying to be more inclusive and more realizing how minorities of all different kinds, including women, have been squeezed out of positions of power, have been squeezed out maybe altogether, and how various institutions are trying to rectify that these days. Now, one of the things that really interested me as an American watching this movie called White Balls on Walls was that, my gosh, even in the Netherlands, even in this great Dutch museum in Amsterdam, they're talking about American things which really have a global impact. They're talking about things like the killing of George Floyd and the demands for social justice that came in the wake of that. They're aware of these things and they're concerned with these things. They're also concerned with the fact that with their own history and their own current state, there just aren't enough people who are not white males who are really in positions of power. So that is really what this movie is all about. White Balls on Walls comes from a protest which was held way back in the middle 90s by a group of arts activists called the Guerrilla Girls. And one of the little debates that takes place in this movie is whether that was really the Guerrilla Girls or whether there was one Guerrilla Girl and the others were other kinds of activists. And oh, one person really maintains, oh yes, that was the Guerrilla Girls and that was a Guerrilla Girl there, but no, no, another person says, no, that was not the Guerrilla Girls, that was not even one Guerrilla Girl. So it's sort of interesting to hear that tiny little thing be hashed out and argued over in the course of the movie, and it shows how we can, and I must say this about that moment in the film, it shows how we can all get bogged down sometimes in arguments over the most trivial aspects of these things. However, most of this movie is not really about trivia. It is about the real genuine efforts of a really major museum to try to open itself up in ways that it has not been opened up before to women and other racial and ethnic minorities. And I want to emphasize once again that there are certainly people of color in this movie, and they play very important parts, and they seem to be very aware of the necessity for change and about their own need to be both aggressive and diplomatic as they go about these things. And so we see all kinds of curators and administrators and others kind of deal with these things in nuanced ways. And we also have talk about other things, colonialism. What does it mean to be Dutch in the current day and age? How about gender? How does that enter into all of this? And again, all of this in the context of the Netherlands, which of course is an overwhelmingly white country with a very strong Dutch identity, but it's beginning to change because of all kinds of immigration issues and so forth and so on. So that is what White Balls on Walls deals with. I have to say that of the two, I really had a better time watching Close to Vermeer because I just felt so close to those paintings and because it was a movie that was really almost entirely about the art. Of course, we see a lot of art in White Balls on Walls, and we hear a lot of very interesting debates about whether a particular work should be emphasized or not emphasized because it is or is not by an artist of color, etc. But it was mainly about those social issues, and I would have liked a little bit more about the art, even though, I have to say, the movie is really mostly about those social issues, and of course, it deals mainly with those social issues. But as an American, I'm interested in these things in an American context. It broadened my horizon to be able to have things discussed here from a Western European context and specifically a Dutch context. But I have to say, of the two documentaries I've talked about, I just had a better time watching Close to Vermeer. It's just a lovely, lovely, beautiful movie. We see some great art in this film, too, but I think not quite as much emphasis on it. Now, as mentioned at the top, the third movie I'd like to talk about right now is Dali Land, which is, of course, about the artist Salvador Dali. And this is a movie which is directed by Mary Harron. And she's directed a lot of movies and done a lot of TV and that kind of thing. A couple of her most important movies also, like Dali Land, deal with an artist and the scene or somebody involved with the world of art and the scene around that person. Probably her best known movie is American Psycho from way back in 2000. But she also made I Shot Andy Warhol, which obviously deals with the artist Andy Warhol. She made The Notorious Betty Page, which deals with the model Betty Page. And she likes to deal with controversial subjects. And Dali Land is all about Salvador Dali. And he's a fairly controversial artist still to this day, I think. Of course, known far and wide as one of the great masters of surrealist art. He drew directly on his dreams for the subject matter of his art, and he was a master of that. Probably nobody was better, more important, more influential in pursuing surrealist art over decades and decades than Salvador Dali. He's also very famous for his relationship with his wife, Gela, whom he always said he loved, 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 and she was the main thing in his life, and I think it was all genuine. He doted on her. He always talked about her as his muse, his support. Without her, he could never accomplish anything, and all that sort of thing. So what Dali Land largely deals with is the relationship between Salvador Dali, played by the great Ben Kingsley, and Gela, played by the great Barbara Sukowa. And the movie looks at their lives through the life of a young man named James, played by Christopher Briney, who comes into their lives. He works for a gallery that deals with Dali, and then Dali decides abruptly to hire him as an assistant. And so he goes off to work for Dali for a while. And so the movie is showing Dali, the artist, Dali, the person, his relationship with his wife, Gala, all through the eyes of this young man who comes to work as a sort of apprentice and all-around factotum and helper to Dali. Now, guess what? Dali is really, 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 really eccentric. He is a very, very bizarre character in all kinds of ways. Among other things, he is phenomenally egotistical, always refers to himself in the third person. Dali says this, Dali wants that, Dali thinks this, and so forth and so on. But interestingly, in one little revealing moment in the movie, he says that when he compares himself with other current painters of his own day, he sees himself way, way miles, leagues above them in quality. But when he compares himself with the great masters like Vermeer and Rembrandt, he feels so inferior. So it's interesting that according to this movie, at least, even Dali had a little streak of humility in him somewhere. But mostly he lives a high life. He doesn't spend any money at all, but Gala spends money all over the place and always in cash. One of the jobs that young James has is sometimes transporting suitcases of money so that Gala can pay the bills for this or that. And they live in an expensive place and they have huge parties with celebrities attending. One of the secondary characters in the movie is Alice Cooper, who's there at some of the parties. And we also see a young Broadway actor who becomes Gala's lover for a while, and we see how she has her love affairs and Salvador Dali has his various concerns and how they sometimes are very intimately together and sometimes they're very far apart, all through the lives of this young artist who is at once stunned and sort of stupefied by these two important people and their astounding eccentricities. Dali Land is not a great movie. It has these interludes where a pop song comes on the soundtrack and we see a sort of a montage of party scenes or life scenes or this or that, and it's not very inspired. I think Mary Harron has done much better work in the past. But Ben Kingsley makes a fascinating Salvador Dali. Barbara Sacova makes a fascinating Gala. Christopher Brownie is not much good as young James, but in a way, he's not the most important character. So if you're interested in Dali, if you're interested in 20th century art, it's a movie that you might not love, but it's definitely worth seeing. So a lot of movies about art out there right now. Artists rejoice. And that is my art-related story this week.
For which we thank you, as always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films Close to Vermeer, White Balls on Walls, and Dali Land.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.